Welcome, family. Terry Barber, Paul Clay filling in for Jesse. Also, he did Jesus 911, so he's working overtime today. Paul Clay, thanks again for stepping up to the plate to preach the gospel, brother.
Terry, always a pleasure to be here with you. I love it.
Well, I'm excited, Paul, and I'll tell you why I'm so excited. Is because God gave me another day on this planet to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people who might never hear it any other way. So, and I think that can be applied to all of us listening. So welcome, family. Today's going to be an interesting show because we're going to give you an update on Father James Altman, his reaction to the bishop suspending his priestly faculties. We're going to get into that. Also, yesterday, probably heard the news, not many people have, but in Cuba, tens of thousands of people are taking to the streets demanding the end of the dictatorship of communism in Cuba. And we're hoping and praying for all those, because most of those people are Catholic in Cuba. Also, this is a great story. A couple suing to get their money back after donating to a pro-LGBT woke Catholic school, in quotes here. But we're going to talk about that also. We're also going to talk about this homosexual choir singing, "We're going to convert your children. We're coming for them." And they're serious out in San Francisco. They're coming out in the open to say what they're really wanting to do. And I want to talk and pray for Pope Francis, his health. I know he's been in the hospital, and the word is because of the colon surgery, he's going to have to spend some more time. I'd like to talk about that and pray that he will confirm us in our faith. Also, good news, everybody. And you ready for this one? The state of Louisiana will recognize St. Joseph, the worker, on that day statewide, because it's the year of St. Joseph. Can you imagine, Paul, can you imagine Nevada, where you're at, or California, where I'm at, doing that? Maybe 50 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Not now. But before we get to all these topics, Paul, I usually get the gospel of the day. But brother, I went to Daily Mass on Saturday, and I read the gospel, Matthew 10, verse 24 to 33, and I thought, I gotta read this gospel because it applies about fear, and fear is so prevalent in our culture. I want to know what the Bible has to say about what we should be fearing, okay? So, Paul, I don't think you have that in front of you. If you do, it's I love when you read the gospel. It's beautiful. It's gospel, Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 to 33. It's Saturday's Daily Gospel. Do you have that in front of you? If not, I'll read it.
I do not have it in front of me.
Let me read
today's, but go ahead.
All right, brother. Here's what it says. It says, Jesus said to the apostles, "No disciple is above his teacher, no slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, for the slave that he become like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more those of the household?" And here comes the cash value, folks. Right here, big time. "Therefore, do not be afraid of them. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim it on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body," this is it, "but cannot kill the soul." I'm referring to COVID-19, sorry, but I'll repeat it. "And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body into Gehenna." This gospel, Paul, is full of a lot of great advice for us. Let me tell you. "Even all the hairs of your head," and Paul and I don't have too many left, "are counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than the many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." Paul, I read that and I reflected on that. And I thought about denying Jesus. I thought about that. Is there enough evidence at my exit interview that I was a follower of Jesus Christ in my life? Is there enough evidence that I stood up for the gospel in season and out Because I think those are the questions that are going to be asked, how much I love Jesus.
Well, Terry, if you're going to ask that question,
yeah,
then the rest of us are in real trouble.
No, it's just that question is
listen,
for everybody.
But I always tell you know, and Terry and I love you. You know I love you, and I'll tell you, Terry,
you know that.
You really are an example to many of us Catholic men out there. You're a man who has dedicated all your resources, mm-hmm. your entire life,
yep.
to Jesus Christ,
right?
And you should be recognized for that. Work. No, really.
I don't need
really.
To recognize. No.
In today's gospel, we hear about God talking about, you know, in our church, we talk about how we merit salvation.
Yeah.
We don't earn it. It's not, you know, when we merit salvation, Terry, it's something that God graciously gives to us based on things, you know, it's like rewarding a faithful son.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm saying, Terry,
sure.
is, you know, you're being faithful to the call of Christ. And all of us need to follow your example. You need to be like Paul the Apostle. Follow me right. because I'm
Imitate
following
me
Christ.
Imitate me as an imitator of Christ. Yep. St. Paul.
Yep.
Yep. Good point.
Yep.
Paul, let me ask you this, though. When the Bible talks about, therefore, do not be afraid of them, mm-hmm. who's them? In your mind, when you read that, who's them?
Well, them, you know, the Bible's counterculture, Terry,
yep.
and the them is the people who have who are already part of this world, who have grasped onto the philosophical viewpoints of this world. They are people who have abandoned traditional mm-hmm. faith. And they're looking it's not enough for them to abandon it, but now they want to criticize us for our beliefs.
Yeah.
Because as you said, you talked about the homosexual choir that says, we're coming for your children.
Yeah.
It's not enough that they came out of the closet, so to speak, but now they're actively telling you,
yeah.
we are going to essentially indoctrinate,
mm-hmm.
and eventually sodomize your children.
Yep.
That's the them. And God tells us not to be afraid of them, because greater is he who is in me, Terry,
Amen.
Than he who is in the world. And we need to be focused, Terry, on the big picture, knowing we already know that our life in this world is lost. Paul says, I've considered, you know, all things, you know, are basically lost to him. You know, it's Christ that he wants to keep his eye on mm-hmm. and focus on. And that's where we all need to be. And I think that's where, our audience needs to just refocus and not be afraid. Don't be afraid of this world. Christ in us, the hope of glory, will sustain us.
Well said, Paul. I love it. I love it. The gospel's always there for us. And, you know, folks, sometimes I tell people, don't even watch the news if it depresses you. I had lunch with a friend on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I can't watch it. It just depressed me. I said, spend the time reading the Word of God. Lift you up.
Amen.
Okay? That's
Amen.
The advice we need to have. So if many
Great
people
advice.
Are always saying, you know, this is such a crummy world we're in. Yeah. But, you know, when we're living in the presence of God, we can handle anything. Well, you know,
yes.
Cardinal George said something similar to what you just preached about the gospel when he said this. The church is a scandal to the worldly when she's faithful to her Lord and her teachings and her acts, because we're called to be contrary to the world. But Cardinal George says this, and I think this applies in us right now. The church is a scandal to the faithful when her members and her ministers dissent from the teachings and excuse themselves from her prescriptions. And then he wraps it up, Paul, and says, the first scandal is our mission. Yeah, to be at odds with the world. But
That's
then he says,
right.
the second is our shame. In other words, it's shameful
yes.
for us to be one with the world. So there you have it,
Uncle yes.
George. Hey, let's bring the smartest guy into the room, Archbishop Jay Sheen. And he says this about social responsibility. It is not true to say the way I conduct my own life is nobody's business but mine. We hear that a lot. Or it harms nobody else. Fulton Sheen says, could you throw a stone in the sea without causing ripples, which would affect even the most distant shore? How then do we think our moral actions can be devoid of social repercussions?
Wow.
Yeah.
What insight, what beautiful insight that God has given Bishop Sheen. Terry, it is so true. We in the Catholic Church, we understand the doctrine of the communion of saints.
Amen.
We understand sacred scripture that tells us in him we both move and breathe and have our being. Folks, there's a connectedness that we have to one another. There's a connectedness on the natural level. We are all sons of Adam in that sense. And for sure, those who have the indelible seal of baptism, we are connected in Christ. And shall that, you know, the hand say to the foot, I don't need you? No, of course not. We're all members of the same body, and we affect one another. And by the way, fathers, mothers, what you do has real consequences on the salvation of your children.
Well said, Frank. Paul, hey, quick note, make an action item. Say a prayer for a soul halfway around the world every single day for some soul who needs graces to overcome sin. And you don't even know the person. That's the mystical body of Christ.
Yep. Amen.
When we come back, Father James Altman reacts to the bishop's suspended priestly faculties. And we'll talk about that and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. They say I have too much iced tea. I have iced tea sitting here, and I get excited. And I'll tell you why. Father James Altman, I've met him, talked to him. He is a no-nonsense Catholic priest, and he just speaks the truth in charity. And I mean charity. When he calls sinners out, that's charity.
Yes,
and so what's
yes.
happened to him is he was suspended for doing something that Terry and Jesse do for years. We tell people this. You cannot be a Catholic and a Democrat. And people go, what? You can't? Why? Read the platform of the Democratic Party about the life issues and then ask yourself, as a Catholic, how can you participate in a political party that says we're for killing unborn innocent babies? That's the only question. Now, you can say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, then that's not logical. Why would you belong to some organization that has a platform that says this is what we are about? I mean, if you don't believe in the Catholic Church's teachings on the real presence, the Blessed Virgin Mary, do us a favor. Go leave. And I'll tell you why, because we have doctrines that we're all called to believe in. And if you're not,
Amen.
Then you're not a Catholic. And so,
Amen.
Father Altman, go ahead.
My wife showed me something, you know, that happened recently. And it was about a young woman who, she was at a gas station and she ran screaming for help. And she got underneath somebody's pickup truck.
Oh, my gosh.
And the man pumping gas stood there and watched as another man chased her down, pulled her out from under the truck, threw her over his shoulder, and, you know, abducted her.
Okay.
Now, eventually, you know, but the man did nothing, Terry. He just stood there.
Not my problem.
Yeah, that man didn't even call the police.
Yeah.
He just stood there and watched this. How many people would be willing to, you know, would say that that's acceptable for their own children?
I hope nobody.
Nobody would be acceptable. And that's, we have to become involved, Terry.
Yeah.
We can't just sit on the sidelines and look at issues like abortion and make like, hey, it's not my issue. It's not my problem. No, I was repulsed when I saw that man just standing there doing nothing. And likewise, the person that says, you know, I don't agree with you. And even though the people that I'm voting for support this, somehow that, you know, that's
Good
not
enough.
My issue. That's yeah. not my problem.
Fair enough.
It's that kind of a thing. It should be repulsive to us, you know?
The analogy is perfect because that's what I see going on with Father Altman. Now, Father Altman has told us that he expressed their support and concerns of all kinds of people around the world, including us, and saying, Father, you know what, I understand, but we support you because, you know, you're highlighting the clarity and the truth and the evil that,
yes.
you know, that is going on in the world.
Yes.
And you're not afraid to speak up and speak and yes. tell us that. Now, obviously, that one video that he did a year ago, and we played it on our show, it went viral, when he said you can't be a Catholic and a Democrat. And Father Altman states that his latest move, once again, is interference with the feeding of the God's children and through the Word of God, the sacraments. So what he's basically saying is that his canon lawyer, because remember, Father Altman, do you know this? He was a former attorney. He was a former, not just an attorney, he taught law school. They have
That's
future
right.
attorneys. So I
That's
think we got
right.
the right guy to defend this, because what's going to happen? I just talked to a canon lawyer this morning before I did the show. I wanted to make sure when Father is working with a canon lawyer, he's appealing the decision. And that usually takes about a year for him to get an appeal answered in Rome. So he says this, and I love what he says. I have a heart of a pastor, and I have a heart of a father, and I will follow and trust God wherever he leads me. So he's not bummed, because he knew this was coming, Paul.
Yep.
He knew that by speaking the truth, that
yep.
there are people in our church that are going to not feel comfortable with him doing that. And I would say this, that I encourage people to call Bishop William Callahan at area code 608-788-7700 and give your opinion on this. Or
listen,
you can write to them. Go ahead, Paul.
Listen, Terry, the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive.
Of course it is.
It is offensive. Christ said, think not that I have come to bring peace, but a sword.
Mm-hmm.
For a man's enemies will be his own household.
Yeah.
He will divide a mother against, you know, a daughter, a father against his son. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. And I always say, if the truth offends you, then you need
Amen.
To be offended.
Well said. And Paul, I think that's what Father's doing. My wife and I were discussing this on the way back from church this morning, and
mm-hmm.
we were saying that, you know, we need to have more priests in the pulpit and deacons and people
yes.
giving true charity and saying, look,
yes.
Tell me what Christ's teachings are on this topic. Don't tickle my ears. Don't make me feel good. Tell me what I need to know to get to heaven, not
You're right.
to make me feel good. So there you
You're
have.
Absolutely right. I was talking earlier this morning to Jess
yeah.
About that, and he was mentioning how many people are, you know, having prayer groups at their houses, and mm-hmm. you know, many people are just listening to podcasts, hearing the truth, just being nourished and sustained by the truth,
right.
Terry.
Right.
And I told Jess, I said, listen, that's because it's unfortunate, but many who have an opportunity to speak the truth in love from the pulpit are not doing that. They're not proclaiming the excellencies and the truth of God's word, and therefore the faithful must look elsewhere. Christ is the ultimate shepherd. He commanded Peter, he said, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my sheep. And guess what? If for some reason those who are in the priesthood neglect to, you know, their vocation to feed the sheep.
Yep.
Well, God will raise up the rocks if necessary, you know,
sure,
but
sure.
the sheep will get fed. God yep. will feed us and sustain us.
Well said. You know, there's only two bishops that I'm aware of that publicly came out in support of Father mm-hmm. James Altman. One was our very own Bishop Joseph Strickland, who's on a radio show
Praise
with us
God.
Here every Tuesday on Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and also Archbishop Vigano also has supported Father Altman. Father Altman told me, he said, I'm shocked that Vigano even knows who I am. But he said, you know, these guys like Vigano and Bishop Strickland, they are the ones who are speaking out like a true shepherd. And I have to say this, I pray for these bishops who are just quiet because they don't want to rock the boat. Because as you said, the gospel mm-hmm. is just the opposite. It's supposed to make us feel uncomfortable. So I would encourage
yeah.
people to watch the interview on LifeSite News with Father Altman and our good friend John Henry Weston. All right, let's move to another. Oh, you know what? One more thing I put down. I put a Hail Mary. I want to pray a Hail Mary for Father James Altman, that Our Lady will help him overcome all these obstacles. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, Paul, let's move on to our next topic. It just happened yesterday. It's very new. I mean, not many people are even aware about it. And that is, in Cuba yesterday, tens of thousands of people took to the streets to demand the end of a dictatorship there in Cuba. Now, the last time something like this happened on a smaller level was 1994 when Fidel was in power. And unfortunately, the uprising was crushed by Fidel. And so now these people, I'm seeing pictures of this. They're in Havana, Santiago, Santa Clara, many of the big major cities. So this is actually being more organized. And the thing that they're saying said, we are not going to hand over our sovereignty or independence to the people. He said, this is what they're saying. There are many revolutionaries in this country that we're willing to risk our lives now. People are willing to say, look, not on my watch. We want freedom. We can't even feed our people. One of the interesting things, Paul, and I want your take on this, because we have some people who are in our Congress, people who want socialism and communism. And I think, well, go, Cortez, go over to Cuba and live there and see what it's really like and see how you like that, because it's terrible. I got people here, they're saying that they wait a full day in line to get rationed food and rice, you know, rice and chicken or bread, and there's just not enough food to feed my family. So people are saying this isn't working. Now, some of our government people right away, wasn't President Biden, but Republican Senator Marco Rubio, who has roots in Cuba, family roots, said he will ask President Biden and Secretary of State Antonio Blinken to urge the members of the Cuban military to stand with the people of Cuba. So basically, it's an uprise. Because they said, enough's enough. After 60 years of this, we want our freedom. And here's one more thing, and then I wanted to get your take on this. The central bank in Cuba is no longer taking U.S. dollars. So now the people are even poorer because so many relatives were sending U.S. dollars to their relatives in Cuba to help them financially, because obviously they're better off in Miami and in Florida, other parts of the states, and now they cut that off. So this is a situation, Paul, where I just see clearly where has socialism or communism ever worked? And I want this to be told to America to say, this is what some people are asking you to change.
Yes.
Not on my watch. How about yours?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, Terry, it's amazing to me that there are people in power in our country right now that are marching forward toward this type of government.
Yeah.
You know, and they somehow, but they delude themselves and they think like, oh, we're talking about democratic socialism, a distinction without a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me tell you, Terry, this stuff is, when the government begins to be the all-powerful, all-providing government, then essentially the free market dies off. Ideas go by the wayside. Why? New ideas and innovative ideas. Why? Because if I can't benefit from it, why do I need to even waste the time thinking about it? So eventually the people end up in a state of poverty. The government doesn't generate money, it only taxes. And anybody who's interested in the free market, especially people in this country, they'll take their money elsewhere. We'll be headed into the death spiral, just like JFK Jr.'s plane, we'll be headed into the death spiral and we won't be able to come out of it. I pray that our people in this country wake up and see, as you said, Terry, there's no nation that has had a successful model of communism or socialism.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about what people are tweeting out there in Cuba asking for reform. asking for the communist government to cease. Family will be back. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, Terry Barber, Paul Clay filling in for Jesse. And we're talking about the freedom of thousands of Cubans taking to the streets. I want you to know there's 11 million people in the whole country of Cuba, just a little larger than what we call L.A. County in Southern California. Yeah, believe it or not. But they're fighting. No lights are on. Can you imagine in L.A. County if we had no food for the people? The lightings would go on only inadvertently. They're waiting for in line to get their bread and rice all day long. And the people are saying, enough's enough. We want our freedom. And this is what one of the tweets said. I thought it said it all. We have an incompetent communist party. It cannot feed or protect the people from anything. And so the people are finally coming out. I believe, Paul, and this is my take, that what's happened in Cuba is when they opened up Cuba for Americans to come visit Cuba, Americans a few years ago went there and they started seeing how Americans live. And they're going, what are we doing? I mean, I had friends who told me, if you go to the hospital in Cuba for like, you got to have an operation, bring your own pillow, bring your sheets, bring your own bed.
Yes.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah, Terry, I had a friend from Cuba whose parents were doctors.
Okay.
And it was told to me that they made, you know, essentially the same money that the janitor was making taking care of the school.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just incredible, you know, what communism and socialism do. And we know, sacred scripture tells us, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, Terry. And guess what? That's why communism is so opposed toward religion, opposed toward God. It's because God is who brings freedom to people, not only freedom from, you know, freedom from sin and death, and freedom in every aspect of life. And that only comes through the knowledge of God. That's and right. when these philosophical ideas come up, like Marxism and communism, they don't work, Terry. They fail miserably.
Well said, Paul. Let's say a little prayer for the people in Cuba. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women.
And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Wow, Cuba, unbelievable. Let's keep the prayers coming. Hey, let's switch gears. Paul, this is a guy that really, I think, gets it. Here's what happened. A couple sues to get their money back after donating money to this pro-homosexual woke Catholic school. Yeah, they're promoting homosexuality. So this guy says, hey, I'm going to file a suit to get my money back because that's not what I gave my money to.
And that's right.
It's the same, and I'll just give the analogy in business. If you rent a house and the house doesn't have plumbing working, or it doesn't have electricity, then you shouldn't be paying your rent. And in my opinion, the Catholic Church, if they're not preaching what the Catholic Church teaches, then don't give them any money. Go to another parish where they will. So Anthony and Barbara Sapporo pledged, are you ready? $1.35 million in 2017 to the Academy of the Holy Names of High School in Tampa, Florida, where both their daughters attended. Now, last week, the couple filed a lawsuit to retract their pledge and have their donation returned. The 13-count complaint slams the Academy of the Holy Names. Now, he says this, the Academy lost its way, distancing itself from mainstream Catholicism and embracing a new politically correct, divisive, woke culture where gender identity, human sexuality, pregnancy termination, that means abortion, among other hot buttons, took front and center. And so this lawsuit is in Hillsborough County Circuit Court on June 26th. It just took place.
Yeah.
And here are the tuitions and the fees for this high school. So it's got to be a expensive place to go. Are you ready? $22,450 a year to have your kid there.
Terry, you know, listen.
Money. Follow the money.
Oh, yeah. But it's unfortunate. I don't know how successful this lawsuit is going to be.
Yeah.
Because when they gave that money, it was a donation.
Yeah.
You know, and there wasn't anything conditional. It was just a donation.
Right.
So, again, it remains to be seen if they're going to be successful in order to recover the money. But it just speaks to the fact that we need to be discerning these days.
Absolutely.
And not everything or entity out there that bears the name Catholic is worthy of our support. So we have to test the spirits, as Sacred Scripture says, and we have to support what we know to be true. And there are different apostolates in the church that are worthy of our support, but we just have to be discerning.
Yeah, we do. And you know, these folks have also raised over $9 million for the academy, and I think they've just had a metanoia, change of heart, to say, wait a minute, we're giving mm-hmm. money to this school to corrupt our young people? No, we're going to stop that. And this is the message I got. Whether they're successful or not,
mm-hmm.
this is the message I got, folks. And I'll get in trouble for parishes, schools, but I think we have to vote with our pocketbooks. If you're at a parish and they're not teaching the Catholic Church teachings, yeah, leave it, obviously. But mm-hmm. if you have a pledge, say, I'm not going to keep my pledge. You've compromised the faith. I only get money.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, that's my point.
It's unfortunate.
Though.
Cash is king.
Yeah.
The money is what seems to affect a lot of people when they look at the bottom dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at what we just went through with the whole COVID thing, and the government was supplementing our church in large quantities. Mm-hmm. It seemed like the church was deaf to the ears of the faithful who were saying, we want the Holy Eucharist. We want to be able to receive the Lord. And the church is almost seemed like they turned a deaf ear to us. And, they opened up their coffers to receiving money from Caesar. Well, that's not going to work. And guess what? Eventually, the government is going to withdraw that support. And the church is going to be left once again with the faithful. So I just want to encourage the bishops to recognize that, you know, it's on the level of the people that makes the real difference in our church.
Well said, Paul. And we've talked about, even at the bishops' conference, it's right on YouTube, where the secretary for financing says, gentlemen, remember, about 70% of our funding comes from Uncle Sam. We gotta be careful what we say here, because we can't lose this money from the government. And I say the heck with it. And I think that you, as a on fire Catholic, because those are the people who are listening to us, and those who are listening and say, well, who are these guys? We just love Jesus. We love our church. But we also love to proclaim the fullness, perennial teaching of the church, not a compromised Catholicism.
Yeah. I'll put a challenge out there to all the bishops out there. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, mm-hmm. if you cut off that money and start proclaiming the excellencies of the gospel of Jesus Christ, your coffers will be overflowing, because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, Terry, beyond what we think. Okay. All we have to do, kind of like Isaiah, when he told King Ahaz, ask the Lord and he'll give you a sign. You know what I mean? God is not poor. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and then some.
I love that line. That's such a beautiful one. It's true. And again, I just want to encourage people to put their money where their faith is. Why support a parish or a school who's undermining our Catholic faith? We need to speak out on these things. So I would just encourage everyone to keep that in mind when they're out there putting their donations in. And again, I'm not opposed. That's why I think people have been supporting us. We're still about halfway there on getting our battery and our solar for the chapel, up front of the chapel, for the studio, so that when these blackouts come through, we're going to be online. So if people want to donate to us and say, this is for the battery pack for the studio, call 877-526-2151. Or if you want to talk to me in the afternoon, I give my cell number out. I'm the only knucklehead in Catholic radio that I'm aware of throughout the country who gives their cell number out, 661-972-7872. I'll just tell people this, Paul. I have a guy who listens to us in prison. He's mentally been convicted of whatever. He's 2150, as you guys. He's mentally disabled.
5150.
He's not all there. He's in a mental institute. Mm-hmm. He listens to us every single day, Monday through Friday. I keep and he calls me probably 50 times a year for just to talk to him. And guess what, folks? He couldn't do it without you because he calls on our toll-free number. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying we reach out to everybody. Here's a man who's mentally, but I'll tell you know what, Paul? He's holy. What? How can you be holy and lose your mind? Because you know what he constantly wants to talk about? Jesus.
Amen.
So this is what we're reaching through Virgin Most Powerful Radio. So I would give my cell number at 661-972-7872. When we come back, I want to talk about the homosexual men's choir. Can you imagine this, Paul? Saying that we're going to convert your children. We're coming for them. And they're serious. And what's really amazing about this article is people are starting to wake up to say, oh, I thought we were just wanting to be nice to these people just because I feel so bad. They're actually going after my kids. No, wait, not on my watch. I think this is a wake-up call for us to really understand what the homosexual network is really out to do. It's not about, oh, we can now get married. It's about going after your children. So I hope mom and dad say, wait a minute, not on my watch. I'm going to defend my kids, and I'm going to defend my rights as a Christian to not have this in my church or in my society by giving them charity with the truth of the gospel. Paul Clay, when we come back, we'll talk more about that. Also, people are still getting the men's conference recordings. Are you kidding me? That was 8 weeks ago. You can still get them. Go online to vmpr.org and check it out or call 877-526-2151. You can get the download. Bishop Strickland's talk on St. Joseph is part of it. Like I say, when we come back, more to inspire you to stand up for Jesus in the workplace, at home, wherever you are at.
Amen.
It's our time. God has put you in this planet at this time to speak the truth with charity. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Paul Clay sitting in for Jess Romero, Terry Barber reporting for duty. Sir, hey, Paul, before we get into this homosexual choir, I overheard something over the weekend on the internet regarding the CDC, regarding COVID-19. And over the course of 15, 16 months, the CDC keeps telling us we're revising the statistics of people who have died from COVID. And they keep telling us that, you know, oh, this wasn't actually a death of COVID. And we know why, that, you know, the hospitals get more money if they can generate a death certificate that says COVID-19. So guess what? You die of a heart attack, you're going to be a COVID patient. So I want to play this 2-minute clip so that people can get this. So, Mr. Engineer, play that clip.
Hospitals have been counting patients who died from serious pre-existing conditions as COVID-19 deaths. One America's Pearson Sharp has more as the CDC counts over 51,000 patients who died from heart attacks as opposed to coronavirus.
The Centers for Disease Control have updated their death counts for coronavirus and reveal yet again that COVID-19 is rarely the actual cause of death among coronavirus patients. According to the CDC themselves, of the 220,000 deaths attributed to the coronavirus, 87,000 of them died from pneumonia and influenza. Another 17,000 died from chronic respiratory diseases, and 26,000 died from respiratory distress syndrome. 44,000 patients died from hypertensive diseases, 23,000 died from heart disease, and a whopping 28,000 died from cardiac arrest and heart failure. Yet all of these, even patients who died from heart attacks, were marked down as dying from the coronavirus. Doctors who spoke with One America News explained that 131,000 patients who are being considered COVID-19 deaths already had life-ending diseases, including cancer, dementia, and even end-stage renal failure. And according to the CDC again, if you look at place of death, you'll see that some 10,000 patients who died from COVID were on hospice care, meaning they were terminally ill to begin with and were already expected to die. Doctors tell One America News that all of these patients were critically ill and likely died from their pre-existing conditions without any help from the coronavirus. However, they explain that the CARES Act, passed by Congress in March, gives hospitals a 20% bonus on their diagnosis-related group paid for by Medicare. Essentially, that means doctors are being paid to list deaths as coronavirus without any indication the patient's death was actually COVID-related.
Well, Paul, the facts are the facts. I remember 11% of the people who supposedly have died from COVID actually died from COVID. So I just think that this is, again, another example of the manipulation, follow the money. Wherever the money goes, that's when you find out who's got the COVID. And again, Paul, you've had COVID, your wife's had COVID, I've had COVID, you know, I survived it. But I remember them saying people who have like overweight, diabetes, all these other underlying issues, they're the ones who can't survive this. And it just seems to me like this is not coming out to the public, and in the general public is actually getting this information. Oh, I can't hear him, Rich. Hang on, Paul.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Go ahead, Paul. Your response?
Yeah, you can get stats to say anything that you want them to say. That's why we shouldn't listen to stats, because they can be so easily manipulated, as you pointed out. Yeah. But Terry, this is also designed to cause a sense of panic. And if you notice, the mainstream media is just, you know, trumpeting this theme about get the shot. And they're instilling fear in society. And I just, like I said, I'm wondering what the end result of all this is going to be. Because I also know that if you die of COVID, I think the government has some form of reimbursement funeral expenses and everything else. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, with trillions of dollars injected into this society, and as you know, we're not on the gold standard. We're on our way to collapse, Terry. Yeah. And I think they want to collapse this system. And whatever's going to rise from the ashes is going to be the foundation for the new world order. Yep. That's what I think.
I think you're spot on. Paul, I just had to get that in, but this whole thing about the homosexual choir singing, "We're going to convert your children, we're coming for them," this is on LifeSite News, and it's it's a song that's warning Christians and everyone that be aware that this is what their motives are to go out and sodomite your kids. I mean, many people have been in the article saying, "I didn't realize that this is what they want. I thought they just wanted to have equality with everybody."
Yeah.
No, come on, give me a break. Talk about being, you know, a little naive. What's your thoughts, Paul, as a policeman in background? Go ahead.
Well, listen, I've known for a long time, I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people who, I worked in inmate classification, Terry, years ago, where we had to separate, homosexual people from the general population. Yeah. And during the interview, it always come up how many of them, Terry, they just have sad lives. Many of them have been molested. And, you know, it's just an unhealthy lifestyle. And it's dark, and there's a lot around it. And, it was obvious to me a long time ago that is something, a movement that, hey, and if you get offended, oh well, because it's the truth. Yeah. It's fueled by Satan.
Yep.
This whole idea is fueled by Satan. You know, God made, when he created man, he created him male and female.
That's it.
And he created him in the Imago Dei, in the image of God. And he didn't create us LGBTQ. He created us male and female. And Satan is in the business, Terry, of trying to tear down what God is trying to build up.
Amen.
And that's our society. That's a Christian society.
Well said. The parts don't fit. It's by God's design. Satan will always try to reverse things. The black mass is a good example of it, okay?
Yep.
And he does it with homosexuality, too. They might not realize it, but that's who's behind all this. I wanted to pray right now for Pope Francis because he's been in the hospital. Many people know that he's recovering from colon cancer. He's only got one half of a colon now. And they're saying that he needs more time to spend in the hospital because of he's only got one half of a lung, too. I mean, he's missing a lot of vital organs that is necessary. So we pray. This is my prayer. I pray that he will confirm us in our faith. I think I'm praying that this hospital visit will make him realize, like the rest, and he's no different than us. He's the vigor of Christ, not the superior of Christ, but he's no different than us in this sense, that we are here to proclaim the perennial teachings of the church. And I hope that this illness that he had will realize that he's only got so many breaths of air. I noticed on Sunday when he gave a little homily and he said, don't throw plastic bottles into the ocean. And that's true. I don't throw plastic bottles in the ocean. That's a big problem. But, you know, there are other environmentalists who tell us that. I would ask Pope Francis to spend his time confirming us in our faith by telling us to repent and believe in the gospel, get the confession on a regular basis. And I say this with all due respect, Paul, because I respect the office of papacy. I really do. But I see Pope Francis being so ambiguous about teachings that he's proclaimed the last 8 years that people are wondering, what do Catholics really believe? And I would ask that this was a special grace for him to realize that, you know, throwing a bottle in the ocean is not even close to telling people to repent and believe in the gospel and to receive the sacraments worthily, that's his job description, is to get us to heaven, not to make the earth an ecological, gem. And not, like I said, I got solar panels. I recycle my bottles. I give every my bottles to the homeless. It's a way I can talk to them. So I agree with all that, but I would not agree that the vigor of Christ should be confirming us in our faith on the teachings of Christ and not spend so much time on things that are relating to this world. And the gospel even just told us that today about not being afraid of those who can kill body and soul. I'm not afraid of the earth, getting too many plastic bottles. What's more on my mind right now is the salvation of souls. And I'd ask Father, with all due respect, to do that.
Terry, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to be concerned how many plastic bottles are in the ocean, because sacred scripture tells us that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Mm-hmm. All things are going to be made new. That's the truth. But what is going to matter is exactly what you said. Have we proclaimed the excellencies of the Lord? Have we presented ourselves as living and holy sacrifices? Have we burdened ourselves with the ministry of Christ? Mm. Like Paul said in Colossians, he bears things for their sake, the sufferings for their sake, that he might make up that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Yep. What's lacking is our participation.
Amen.
We need to participate with Christ in order to bring to the world God's loving, saving grace.
Paul, I'm just a big amen to that. Paul, usually Jesse and I always talk about the five stones of King David. And what we talk about is confession. Get the confession at least once a month. Talk about reading the Word of God every day. Knock off the news media and open up your Bible and read God's Word. Pray your daily rosary. I mean, Our Lady of Fatima said, look, souls are going to hell. What? Because why? Because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices for them. That's why I said earlier in the podcast, in the show, the radio show, that why not say a prayer every day for some soul in India or China who needs your prayers. This is how the mystical body works. We're all in it together, folks. So get that rosary out. Spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. Are you kidding me? That is the peace of the world can't give. I just had another friend. He got some issues. He said, you opened the church for me. It was such a joy to spend that quiet time with our Eucharistic King. We need to do more of that. Paul Clay, yes. You're amazing. You filled in for Jesus 911 and for the Terry and Jesse Show. I got a final question for you, bro. It's a big one. It's what it's all about. What state should we be living in, brother?
A state of grace, my friend. State of grace.
And the way we do that, folks, is by living a sacramental life and living in the presence of God. Because when we're in the presence of God, we're not going to want to sin. So call on that presence. And don't forget your guardian angel. The unemployment rate's way too high for guardian angels. Put them to work. And I mean put them to work. That's their job, to get you to heaven. And last thing I'm going to say, Mom and Dad, continue to lead your children to heaven. That's the number one cause, one number job description for Mom and Dad, to help your kids meet Jesus and to get to heaven. Yes. And I just want to thank everybody who has been participating here at Virgin Most Powerful. Up next, Dr. Ed Mazza, the Bar of History on Virgin Most Powerful. God bless you and your family.